There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
B-Pod Studios.
Now. Sports Talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zolak and Bertrand.
A sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Here's Marchand. Collects the puck. Barrels into the slot. Fakes, shoots. He scores! Brad Marchand able to snipe one in the shootout. And this one belongs to the Bruins. The Bruins win it on opening night in the extra session. 3-2 in the shootout over the New Jersey Devils.
Bruins season underway. Started with a win last night in New Jersey. Required a shootout, but a win still at the end of the night for the Bruins to open up their season last night. Good to see. You heard the call right there from 98.5 The Sports Hub. Judd and Beersey on the call last night. Doing things differently still on that broadcast, as is everybody who's broadcasting games. And sounded great nonetheless. My big takeaway from last night's game is the performance of Tuukka Rask, Hardy, and McTakey. It's Tuukka. It's Tuukka time is what it is. I thought you saw Tuukka Rask that had a great night, made stops in critical moments, and is now either out to earn his next contract, which I have been talking about for weeks, that I think you could get a great year out of Rask because he expressed the interest in continuing his career beyond this season. It's either that, or maybe it's also the fact that he wants to prove people that he is back, prove to people that, you know, he is great and wants to remind people of that. But Tuukka Rask looked ready to play last night for the Bruins to start their season. And I thought it was a statement type of night for Tuukka Rask in that game. And I know that people say Tuukka Rask is someone who doesn't let what people say about him bother him, that he lets it roll off his back, that he's easygoing, that he just doesn't get caught up in all that. He's still human. He's been hearing it. He's been hearing it for months. He's been hearing it since the bubble. We were asking one of his teammates and Chris Wagner about it yesterday right here on this show. What's it like having Rask back? You know, is everything okay with Rask? And those guys hear it too. And I think he responded last night. Last night was his first chance to respond, and he did. So I think it's a really good sign for the Bruins because I think they're going nowhere without him. And they absolutely need this guy to continue to play. Hello.
Hello.
They need this guy to continue to play the way that he played last night. He faced 22 shots. They did have two goals. But for me, last night, Tuukka Rask was a big part of the story.
It's a good statement from a guy there were questions about in this offseason. And I guess along those lines, my questions, and I still have questions about Tuukka Rask, you know, what it's going to be like when they really, really need him, not in, you know, the first game of the season against the Devils, not a very good hockey team. All right, he did show up, and I'll give him credit. He played well last night. Good. All right, he's there. That's step one for Tuukka. He's actually there. Good. My big question was defensively, what were they going to be like without Torrey Krug primarily, and also Zdeno Chara? I think not enough has been made, as you know, for what Chara still meant to this team right up until the very end of his time here in Boston. And last night, defensively, the team looked pretty good. I don't think among the, you know, the new pairings or the new way with which maybe these guys are going to be able to play now without Chara there, which changes the way, you know, the other guy on that pair is going to play. I get that. But they didn't try and do too much. It's not like they went out there and said, okay, now without having Chara back, or said, we're going to have two hair on fire defensemen flying all over the ice. No, I think they pretty much played together as pairs last night. Specifically, I liked the play of Grizzlick last night. I liked him on the power play last night. And I thought Charlie McAvoy, even though he took a couple of penalties last night, he asserted himself out there. McAvoy is a strong guy and a good player. He needs to, if possible, get stronger and better. And he showed some strength last night. He stood a couple of guys up last night. He laid a couple of hits that got my attention, and I'm sure got the attention of the Devils players, and pretty much said, yeah, Krug was our guy in the power play and a wonderful puck-moving defenseman. Chara has been a brick wall for this team for many seasons, and even if he is not the player he once was, he was still pretty good. The statement that the defense made for the Bruins last night is, you're not going to get any easy entries into the zone. You're not going to necessarily have an easier time of it just because Krug and Chara are gone. Still going to be tough to play against this team defensively. It's just tough to take too much of it because I thought the Devils were very sloppy last night. And the Bruins were sloppy at times too, but I thought the Devils played a very ugly hockey game at times.
Yeah, that's not a good hockey team. I mean, listen, I agree with both of your assessments. I was impressed by the decor last night. Like, I did not expect to notice Zboril. I actually noticed Zboril. Kevin Miller, I thought, really gave them something. That was a really positive development.
How great was Kevin Miller last night?
It was awesome. I mean, that was in some ways the best part of the game last night, watching Kevin Miller look the way he looked. Mark, I'm in total agreement with everything you said about Tuukka Rask. The only thing I'd add to what you guys both just said is this team misses David Pastrnak in a big, big way. You missed him on the power play, missed him on that top line. You realize just how truly important he is to this team. I mean, listen, we all know that, but I think it showed up last night in a big way. You know, they bury a couple more opportunities on the power play if he's there, I think. And what, they had five opportunities on the power play? They only scored on one, and that was kind of a broken play anyway. They missed David Pastrnak in a bad, bad way.
Yeah, I think they miss both, as what both of you guys said. They're going to miss Krug, and they're going to miss Pastrnak, and they're going to miss them on the power play. I think that showed up last night right out of the gate. But overall, even with the Devils not being a good team, you know, we can only talk about the sample size, and the sample size, unfortunately, is the Devils. And that applies to Tuukka, too, as well as I think he played. It's still the New Jersey Devils. It wasn't like he faced 50 shots out there last night. So I look at the Bruins, and after one day and one game, and yes, there are things to nitpick in this game and talk about and say they could have put themselves in a better position to win in regulation. Do you feel better or worse about the Bruins today than you did going into the season?
Again, it's tough to tell against the Devils.
I feel better. I do. Mm-hmm. I do feel better because of a couple of small things here, Hardy. The thing you talked about with these young kids might be okay. They might be able to fill that void. They might be able to play well defensively. And Tuukka, to me, like, coming back and being locked in, that's huge.
You needed a shootout to beat the Devils, and you scored once with your one true goal scorer who is playing right now. And it gets better with Pastrnak back there, and it's game one. I don't want to make too much of it. But if you're going to say you feel better about it, right now I don't feel worse. And if anything, I feel a little bit better, but I take it all with a big grain of salt, and that grain of salt being the opponent and the fact that, it's one stop away from them losing that game last night. You're talking about a shootout win, Beetle. You know,
yes.
Had they lost the shootout, would you feel worse about this team today?
I think I would have been upset about them wasting away an opportunity to get a win against a bad team, for sure. But there are still things that we could have looked at in this game and say it wasn't terrible. Like, their end result.
No, of course it wasn't.
I feel like, you know, going to a shootout, shootouts can be really a toss-up, right? And so I don't know, like the fact that it got to a shootout, you can complain about that today. As a Bruins fan, you can be pissed that that thing had to go all the way to a shootout. Absolutely. Regardless of the outcome, the fact that they won it is like sort of irrelevant. You can always be mad at your team for going all the way to a shootout.
And shootouts are big this year, too.
When you think the other team stinks, which I think we all do. We all think New Jersey stinks. You're right, T-Bone. T-Blades, feeling better or worse today?
The same.
No, of course.
The exact same.
Well, seriously, because I didn't think the team was going to be terrible. So when, you know, if you have to qualify by saying, they weren't terrible last night, I never thought they were going to be terrible.
I was sort of worried about them. You know what else I was worried about? Marchand, and he looks completely healthy and looks good.
Oh, Marchand. How quickly that gets swept under the rug. He's not going to be ready for opening night.
Sure.
Yeah, we'll see about that. Someone said it to me out in the hallway the day he was back skating with the non-contact jersey off, right? Because he came back for day one of camp wearing the non-contact jersey. Next day, which wasn't weeks ago, it was a week and a half ago, he shows up and he's wearing just a black jersey. He's out there skating. And then he wasn't in the scrimmage a couple of days ago. So I understand people had their reservations about him. Oh, he played, and he played like Marchand.
Right. Isn't that a great sign? I'm very much encouraged by that. I didn't think he was going to be ready for the start of the season. I thought that was bullcrap. It wasn't. He's back, and he's a full go. Positive development. This is positive Bruins talk here today, guys. Very positive.
Yeah.
The Kevin Miller part, man, you guys talked about it. How good Kevin Miller looked last night. What a story, the fact that he's making it back. And I know people brought up Kevin Miller signing when we talked about Chara going back a couple of weeks. People saying, how is it you can sign Kevin Miller, who hasn't played in 2 years, and not have Chara back and rely on Kevin Miller at all for anything, given the injury history and given the, three, four surgeries that he's had? How can you look at that and say that's a guy we're going to bank on? Well, so far, the Bruins look right on that one. Again, small sample, but so far, the Bruins front office and Don Sweeney and the staff there, they nailed that one because Kevin Miller's back. So I think there's a lot to look at last night and say the glass is half full on this Bruins team right now. Yes, stinky opponent for sure. But there are individual things to look at that you can be encouraged by. If you had fears that they might not be so good, and you could put me in that camp. I didn't say they would stink like Joe Murray did. I didn't say that. He was definitively sticking to the Bruins will stink this year. They didn't stink last night.
No.
Tuca was great, and there's some things to be happy about. Let's get your Bruins call. 617-779-0985. Jump on board. It's a Finish Strong Friday here on Zolak and Bertrand. And we'll get to your Bruins thoughts coming up.
Now,
and,
is that a thing? Do we have to do that, or is it just a saying?
I think it's a thing that we got
to
do.
We have to finish strong?
Well, it's encouraged.
It's not contractually required just yet, at least until you got a sponsor.
Right, not contractually required.
For me, it is.
Oh, boy. T-Bone just got a new setup there. So maybe they required it for him. It's in the language of his employment now. You got to finish strong on Fridays. I just say it's strongly encouraged here at 98.5 The Sports Hub, Hardy. Strongly encouraged. Let's get to your calls. Thoughts on Bruins last night, your reaction to the first game, regular season game of the year. We'll be talking about that and many other things today. Beadle, Hardy, and Matt McCarthy with you here on Zolak and Bertrand. Don't go anywhere.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born. And at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Consider them part of your benefits package.
This was the dumbest 30 seconds we've ever had on this show.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Grabbed by Coyle.
right of the net. Coyle darts out in front. The backhand blocked, and look out. It's going to be a breakaway chance for Palmieri. He'll wheel over the line right side into the slot. Shoots Rask to stop.
It's huge. I mean, Tuukka is one of the best goalies in the league, and you know, he's a backbone to our team. Every great team has a great goalie, and you know, that's what we need out of him if we want to go all the way this year. We need him to be big, and he was tonight. You know, that's what he does. He, even when the game gets a little rough for us, he's calm, and you know, when you see that out of your goal and he's making that big save, it allows you to kind of calm down and get back on track. And we had that tonight and made the big saves at the right time, and he was a big part of the win.
Brad Marchand on his goalie, Tuukka Rask. Bruins win in a shootout last night against New Jersey, 617-779-0985. Your thoughts on the Bruins last night as they open their season. Let's go to Ryan in Providence. Hey, Ryan.
Hey, guys. How are you guys doing today? Just last night, I was very pleasantly surprised with Kevin Miller last night. I thought he played awesome. And also McAvoy, he threw the body around a lot. One thing I'm concerned about with losing Chara is the toughness factor. Like, I know when Tuukka got ran yesterday by Miles Wood, like, we don't really have that player that can step up and maybe take care of business. Just want to hear your thoughts on that. And then also I thought Tuukka played really well. And then also with the Devils, I mean, they haven't skated. They haven't played a game since March. So it was kind of disappointing that the Bruins didn't really take it to them. But hopefully the next couple games, the Bruins will pick it up. So thanks, guys. Hope you guys have a nice weekend.
All right. Thanks, Ryan. Appreciate it. Is that part overplayed about how the Devils weren't one of the teams that were in the bubble? And they haven't, you know, skated in a real game in 300 days or so? It's been a very long time.
I think it's a little overplayed. I mean,
I
think really one of the factors that, you know, we need to focus on from last night is that both of those teams had essentially a 10-day camp, and that's it. And I think, you know, particularly the Bruins, I felt like they slowed as the game went on, Beetle. And, you know, I think they're going to kind of play themselves in the shape here where you didn't have the normal training camp, the normal preseason games to get yourself in better condition ahead of game one. I mean, that was just like go out there and play, you know, three periods of hockey plus last night.
Sort of wonder how the league is going to look over the next few weeks,
like
the first month of the year with everything being so short before they got back to it. You know, we were talking yesterday with Chris Wagner, and I brought up that point again about, did you think that the season was in doubt as recently as last month? And he seemed to indicate that, yes, you know, that there are guys that didn't know whether or not there was even going to be a season.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that could have impacted players who don't care as much. I mean, that's just the truth. And I'm talking about the entire league. Not
well, what am I going to do bothering with off-season conditioning if there's the off-season isn't going to be over until, I don't know, next August?
Like, there had to be guys out there who are like, we're not playing.
September.
You know, they weren't skating or, you know, with whatever COVID restrictions based on where they lived. If they lived in L.A., where the hell were they going to get to go skate, you know?
Right.
So who knows? I mean, who knows what the situation is for some of these teams, but so far through one game, Bruins look okay. They do. They look all right. The physicality of McAvoy, you mentioned that. And I know that T-Bone thinks McAvoy is underrated. Not overrated. He thinks he's underrated.
I think he's terrible.
You don't think that would be Joe Murray. You want to direct those complaints to Joe Murray. I got a tweet last night, and you were tagged on it too, Hardy, about
I saw.
T-Bone hates this guy. I'm like, what? No, that's Joe Murray. Joe Murray doesn't like McAvoy. Joe Murray's the one taking shots at McAvoy for pulling Miles Wood out of the crease last night, which was fantastic. It's a great little clip of him grabbing him by the back of the neck and dragging him out of the crease.
Seriously, dragging him out of there like an old sleeping dog. Come here. Get out of the way. Move him from in front of the door so we can open this thing.
Drags him out. You know what it is, too, for McAvoy? And you know, this is like a psychological thing. Without Chara there anymore, he can sort of become the guy. You know, the opportunity is there in front of him. I know that's more of a mentality thing, and I don't think he's going to change his game or anything. It's not like he's going to become a different player, but it's just that you can sort of assert yourself, and it's okay, if that makes sense. You don't feel like there's someone else you got to sort of be behind when it comes to the defenseman on this team. So I hope he takes advantage of that. I hope he becomes the leader of the group and is as physical as he wants to be and can do that and have a presence for the team. Mike in Fort Lauderdale up next here on the Sports Hub. What's up, Mike?
Hold on one second. Yeah, how are you?
Good.
Okay, so I'm going to be a good man and say that, you know, happy, call a spade, Tuukka Rask was the best thing in that game last night. He was absolutely outstanding. Okay, he played phenomenal. I'm very happy. The question is, does he have the hunger to do that to win the Stanley Cup, or is he just playing for a contract? The defense, I knew they would be that good because I follow this team. I'm a hockey guy. I know they were developing properly in Providence. I know the coaching and the development staff do an excellent job. And I knew that Zboril, especially Lauzon, thumbs up all the way. My biggest complaint about the game last night is Kasha. The guy's a guy with potential. Baloney, this guy's got a broken record from Anaheim. He's a guy who has all the skill and potential. He can't do anything. He never comes to fruition. When Pasta comes back, I would put Pasta on the second line with Krejci, leave Stanika with Mastron and Bergeron, and say bye-bye to Kasha because I don't think this guy's ever going to come around. Have a great day.
There's no way they feel that way. Have you seen some of the comments? I read a story last week, a couple days ago, actually. Connor Ryan wrote a story this week about Andre Kasha being a possible X factor for the Bruins. And I thought,
wow,
I hope the Bruins don't feel that way. But then there were some real flattering quotes in the story from Bruce Cassidy and, you know, putting him on the right side and how he's going to could be permanent and all this stuff about how, you know, Kasha could really blossom as a Bruin. And I'm thinking to myself, I don't buy it. I don't know how you guys feel about him. I feel like Mike at Fort Lauderdale. Like, you can't bank on that guy. You can't count on him to be anything significant to this team. Prove me wrong, please. But I don't know. That's a lot. It's a lot of high expectations for a guy that I just don't see being a high performer.
And I don't really, I don't have any problem with line shuffling, but I think the Bruins do. I don't think they're going to touch that top line.
No way.
I love that line.
No way, no how. No. And I think in some ways, I think that's been a problem for them over the years is they haven't been willing to break up that line.
Because we used to see it, especially during the Blackhawks and their run. I mean, they were shuffling up line combinations in the middle of series, in the middle of conference finals series. I think they did it during one of their cup winning series where they would shuffle lines. Let's try this instead. But the Bruins... You're right. Have not been as willing to do that, and it might help something. But would you touch that top line right now?
I mean,
once Pasternak is back,
in some way. Here's the issue, though, Hardy, and it goes back to Kasha. Is they've never found that wing to play on Krejci's right. This is a 5+ year journey to find that guy. Now, I mean, I think he's got good chemistry with Krejci. The problem is he cannot score. He absolutely cannot score. And you're seeing tweets last night from people being like, yeah, I didn't see Kasha score in camp either. The guy gets to the net. The guy gets there, but he cannot score. It's a problem. We call that the Matt McCarthy sophomore year experience. Like, the guy cannot finish.
Oh.
McCarthy, you know what he is, right? He's an analytics guy.
Oh, God, really?
Kasha. Yeah, no. And the theory has always been that in Anaheim, he had terrible players around him. He had suck players around him. But that he was good, and if he were to be put with better players in Boston, he was going to turn into something much more than what he had been in Anaheim, where he had some decent statistics there. I'm not going to lie, but he's one of those old analytical finds, like the nerd department put him at the top of the list.
Oh no, that's great. No, those guys always work out. They're always fantastic. I will say, I mean, he's always on the doorstep. We saw that all last year. Guy's always on the doorstep, and he does have a better player here in Krejci. The problem is he cannot finish. It is an issue.
Sophomore year of high school or college?
College.
Oh.
Yeah.
Sophomore year in high school, you were getting plenty of action?
We call it the sophomore slump.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He didn't score a goal in training camp.
That's funny.
I never saw him score.
Jaffe pointed out last night, too, that they weren't getting a lot of traffic in front of the net, and I believe... he kind of factored that in as to a reason why they weren't having, much success with the finish. I mean, if you are just taking shots unobstructed, you know, it doesn't matter who's in net. If you're a starting NHL goaltender and you see the shot coming from 30 feet away, you're going to stop it. So they weren't doing a lot to obstruct the vision of the keeper last night or have anyone in position for any rebounds that were given up. But once again, when you give a guy a clear angle and a clear sight line on the puck, it's probably not going to be a rebound anyway. So that factors into it too with everybody, okay? But specifically your guy.
Yeah.
Your guy. You're labeling it your guy now.
Your guy.
Uh-huh. Speaking of seeing pucks, did you guys see the story about the new NHL pucks? I read it last night, and quite frankly, I've never been more fascinated by a piece of sporting equipment or the actual ball or puck that is being played with in a game. The NHL has new pucks this year.
Next week.
Yeah, they're going to use them this season. We'll tell you about that and get more of your thoughts on the Bruins on the phone lines at 617-779-0985. McCarthy has the headlines right now.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
They're the office gossips of Boston sports.
It doesn't matter about games and outcomes and scores. He got fingered.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
How many times do you think a puck goes into the stands in an NHL game?
A couple times a game? Three times?
Maybe like a handful at the most?
Stands or netting?
The stands. You lose the puck.
I'd say back to the ice. The average NHL game uses a dozen pucks.
Okay.
All right. How many go into the stands? I'd say
two or three.
Three, sure.
All right,
they get replaced a lot throughout the course of the game.
Well, the NHL is putting out a new puck. The Globe has a story on it that covers all of this. You can read this entire write-up that they have on the NHL introducing a new puck this season. Kevin Paul DuPont covered it. The NHL puck is going high-tech. He says, the hockey puck, as it's been known forever, that humble 6-ounce chunk of hard rubber patented decades ago by Bruins GM and coach Art Ross, has left the building. There's a new kit in NHL ranks, and it's fitted with a tiny embedded battery, a circuit board roughly the size of a half dollar, and a 6-inch long tube, and tubes, that's plural, that emit infrared light at 60 pulses per second. Fast, yet still 2 beats behind Connor McDavid on a breakaway. Ha, 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 ha. Oh, yes, that's right. They have a new puck, which DuPont calls the Space Age puck, which costs the NHL $40 each to produce. It makes the debut next week in all of the NHL's arenas. And this is all part of the puck and player tracking technology that will be used in broadcasts and undoubtedly the tidal wave of legalized betting about to wash over all of pro sports. So this is a data-collecting device, this puck.
Right.
It'll still be 6 ounces. It'll still look the same, 3 inches wide, 1 inch thick. And that's what it's got. It's got technology on the inside. But it costs $40 now to make a puck. It probably cost them a dollar, not even 50 cents, to make the old one.
Yes. This has to go to three different places. The puck has to be made somewhere in Canada. Then they ship it down to Raleigh, North Carolina, where they embed all the technology. Then it goes back to somewhere in Canada, to Quebec, I think, where they screen print it with also something new, a color-changing screen print, so that instead of just putting the pucks in a bucket of ice and the ref coming over and saying, yep, this one is cold enough, they're kept in a cooler, and when the paint changes color from like gray to purple, they know it's cold enough to be put in play, and as that color starts to fade and go back to gray, they know it's time to remove that puck, get it off the ice, and get a fresh cold one down there to replace it.
I love it.
That's a pretty cool idea.
No, it's so cool.
But so, Beetle, the first question I had, of course, is, all right, do they react any different? Do they feel any different? They swear up and down, no. And they said a huge part of the testing was just having players shoot the pucks, play with the pucks, get out there, pass the puck, shoot the puck, bounce the puck around, do all this stuff. And they didn't stop until players could not tell the difference between the two. Not just how, not just the obvious things like weight, size, dimensions, how it sounded, how it felt, even intangible things. You know, they just said, I'm sure did a blind test at some point where it's like, and they couldn't tell which puck they were playing, so fine, good to go. But my other question is, Beetle, is this going to change our viewing experience of the game? And I don't have that answer yet. Do you?
Are we getting a glowing puck again?
That's immediately what I thought of.
Are they bringing back glow puck
with the vapor trail on it? The vapor trail would change color depending on how fast the puck was moving.
I don't mind if they do it, as long as they do it like they do in golf. You know, they put the streak on on the ball in golf, but they do it as a replay. They don't do it in real time, right?
Oh, yes, they do. Shot tracer?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's a huge part of the golf broadcast.
Let me tell you something now.
I get pissed when they don't have shot tracer. I like it in golf, though.
Love it in golf.
At first,
so maybe I'm not against this puck at all being a glow puck and being having a shot tracer on the broadcast, because I like it in golf.
And the technology is so much better than it was, 20 years ago, 25 years ago when they were doing the glow puck.
Glow puck was the dumbest thing ever.
Of course it was. It was gimmicky. I loved it as a kid, but you go back and watch it, and you're like, oh, that's horrible.
Oh, God.
It's not
good. Probably like that stupid thing on Fox that explains baseball, too, then.
What stupid thing on Fox?
What was that? What was that guy's? What was the baseball's name?
I don't remember that. I'm sure I would have hated it.
McCarthy.
Yeah.
What was that stupid thing's name? The baseball's name on Fox. Let me see if I can Google.
I don't remember this at all.
Scooter or something?
Scooter! Yes! Yeah, you probably like that too.
No way.
You like the glow puck. Scooter, was that his name? Yes, it's Scooter, the talking baseball.
When was this? I don't remember this at all.
How do you not remember this?
I have no idea. But I'm sure I would have hated it because I already knew the game.
2004.
Oh, yeah. Would have been way stupid for me at that point.
So I'm just interested to see if that now becomes a thing where they use it in broadcast, because the analytics and the data, who gives a flip?
Well,
what are we going to tell from that?
So it's not just the puck. Every player is going to have something else sewn into the back of their sweater, and they are going to have data from where everyone is on the ice, mm-hmm. from wherever the puck goes, just, you know, reams and reams of data. You know, think of in the movie Twister, right? When they send the little things up into the air and it comes out, it's like,
refashion
oh
the
my
Coke
God,
cans.
The Twister lasted 30 seconds and now we got a year's worth of data to go over. That's what it's going to be like. One shift from an NHL game, they're going to have so much information now based on who was where, at what time, where they're tracing. And, you know, think of it as like an all 22 computerized feed of, you know, where everyone was on the field during a play. That's what they're going to have. But not just an animation of it, actual data from where those players were based on their chip and the 16 cameras that'll be positioned around the rink. You won't see anything else. I don't think you'll see any of this on TV, but... So that's for analytics, that's for coaching, that's for scouting, that's for all that stuff. How does it make its way into the broadcast? Because quite frankly, the only thing I care about is show me where the puck was when the goalie said he had it covered up and we never saw it, when we lost sight of it for
good
a second.
One.
That's a good one.
Will
good
we
one,
be but, able but to the... see where the puck was in like in a decent amount of time, or do you have to wait until the end of the broadcast, and somebody takes a thumb drive and sticks it into a laptop. It's like, oh, as it turns out, at the end of the second period on what would have been the go-ahead goal, it wasn't. It was in for like a full second. Look, you can see the little blip on the chip right there. No, unless it happens during the game, what do I care?
Hardy, it feels like it won't happen, though, because it says it transmits with infrared light. So if you cover up the puck and the light can't hit the sensors inside the arena, can it report back where it is?
It has to.
What if there's a sensor underneath the ice on the line? Can't you do that?
I have no idea if that's a thing. That's not mentioned in the story.
Because I don't know.
See, that's what
now I'm starting to not like it. Now I'm starting to get pissed off, and I don't even know what it is yet.
Have the computers tell us if the puck was in the net or not.
Yep.
Hey, Scooter here. I've been getting blasted all around the park, but sometimes you gotta do what you gotta do. You know what I mean? A nice hard fastball up and in. Oh, that'll get him thinking.
There you go.
No wonder kids nowadays hate baseball.
McCarthy likes Scooter.
No, I did not.
You did. You like Scooter.
No way.
It's okay.
No way. I don't even remember Scooter. But now that I hear that, I hate it.
Reading the Wikipedia entry on Scooter, it says Sports Illustrated writer John Donovan warned that, quote, purists everywhere grab the barf bag.
Yep.
In response to Scooter. Sports Illustrated media writer Richard Deitch used Scooter as an example of, quote, how technology does not always help society.
See, that's why I didn't like it, Beetle. I'm a purist. I came out of the womb a purist.
The Sporting News reported polling their staff with the question, what best summarizes your feelings for Scooter? And 45% of the respondents chose the answer, send him to a slow, painful death. It's harsh. Some picks for the weekend. The football card is on the way. And, of course, more of your calls throughout the day here on Zolak and Bertrand.
There's always a reason for better health. And here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born. And at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
How important is the opinion of a former NFL quarterback on other sports?
I don't think it's that important as people think it is. It's not as important as you think.
Zolak and Bertrand. It's the important part of your workday on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You're right, Tom. He does. T-Bone just brought up something, Beetle, that I'd never really noticed before.
What's that?
Zoe giggles every time he hears this music. What's funny? Because the picks are bad?
You just noticed this?
I don't know. I try not to listen to this show.
We do our best. We've got four games this weekend. Typically, we make five picks. I'm not sure what to do with that.
We can do overs. We can do totals. We can do shoosh.
Okay. We know what Zoe's going to pick.
Yeah, that's easy.
We're making his pick for him.
Yep. And I kind of like the pick.
I don't hate it.
No?
Okay. I don't hate it.
Okay.
But it's Tampa Bay, and it's plus what, 3 or 3.5?
It was 3 this morning. Did it change to 3.5?
I see it at 3.5 in some places, but mostly 3. It's like 9 out of 10 places are at 3. So, 3. Tampa Bay plus 3 against New Orleans. Is there anything you like, Hardy?
What is the line on the Bills-Baltimore? What's the latest?
Right now, I see it at 2.5.
2.5.
Yep, 2.5.
Oh! Taking the Bills.
Yes.
You like it?
I feel a winner here. Do you know what stands out to me about the weekend?
What?
Why is the spread on the Kansas City-Cleveland game so large? What do you see it at there? 9? 10? Where's it at?
I see it at 10.
It's at 10 on the Sportsbook RI, yeah.
Why is that such a big spread? Do they think Kansas City is that much better? I mean, listen, Kansas City, I think, is winning the Super Bowl.
Well, but that's number one. Number two, I think Kansas City has been underperforming a little bit, and I think they're kind of waiting for... Well, there's a couple of things. They might be waiting for a bust out, and they have to guard against everyone betting Kansas City in a Chiefs-Browns matchup. People who don't bet all that much and really haven't been paying all that much attention be like, huh, give me the Chiefs. And they're probably right, but the line is going to move accordingly.
It's just large.
It's a lot of points, but think about it, Beetle. People will bet football all season long. All right, they may not. They look at that line and think differently. The people who only bet a couple of times a year, this is when they start to bet. They might bet opening weekend or week two, and then they go away for weeks and weeks and weeks. Now they're starting to bet again. They're going to bet this weekend. They're going to bet next weekend. They're going to bet the Super Bowl. So you tell, you know, to borrow from RJ Bell, Freddie Fanny Pack, that the defending Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs are playing the Cleveland Browns. Who do you like? Give me the Chiefs! And the line moves in that direction accordingly.
Also, Freddie Fanny Pack crossing the screen. I love that.
Beetle, the Steelers gave the Browns a quarter of football basically free, and they still scored 37 points against them. And even though they lost.
Oh, I get it. No, this is my point. This is going to be a points bonanza.
All right, well, this could be our fifth. Okay, the over.
Like to me, the over is attractive, and Cleveland as the dog is attractive in that game.
57.
Does anybody want to take either one of those?
57 is a ton of points.
I like Cleveland plus the 10 points, man. This is a playoff game, and Cleveland's not a joke.
See, I think... Yeah, let's go the over. Let's definitely do the over.
So hang on a second. If the Patriots were the Patriots and they had Brady and this was a bye season, number one seed, the Browns aren't the tomato can opponent?
No.
You wouldn't consider them? I think people would be saying, oh, they get to play the Browns for a trip to the AFC Championship game. There's your tomato can right there. That would be the storyline all week long.
No.
Good point, Jim.
I don't think
it's the Browns.
I don't think they're a tomato can.
It's a good point, Jim.
I don't think they are a tomato can team. Like, they're not a... I'm taking the Browns plus 10. You're not going to talk about this.
10 you're getting?
Yeah.
That was 9.
No, it's 10.
All right, let's take the Browns plus 10. Let's take the over.
Who's taking the over? Whose pick is that going to be?
It's my second pick. I don't know.
We're doing a six-teamer? Let's do a six-teamer.
Right.
We're not going to win anyways. We might as well win a little.
I mean, we suck. Even if we go
just
perfect.
Hold off on the over for now. Just hold off on the over for now. McTakey.
I got a better pick than Cleveland and the Chiefs over 57. I've got a better pick than that.
I guarantee this will not be better.
All right.
But without even knowing or hearing, what?
I'm going to take the Rams and the Packers. Oh. The over-under in that game, 45.5. I'm taking the under. I'm taking the under in that game. Rams defense is legit, and oh yeah, Jared Goff still stinks and he's got a broken thumb or whatever he's got. I'm taking the under in that game in a big way.
I like that pick.
I like that pick too.
I like that pick.
Of course you do.
My apologies to McTakey. That's a good pick.
Thank you, Hardy. It means a lot to me.
I'm gonna write down the other one.
Yep.
Tampa Bay plus 3. Dun, dun, dun. All right, so we got Tampa Bay plus 3, Bills minus 2.5, Browns plus 10, and under 45.5 in the Rams Green Bay game. T-Bone, what are you thinking?
It doesn't matter anymore, does it?
The way you've played, no.
No.
Sounds like a defeated man right there.
Well, however.
Understandably so.
You know what T-Bone did this season? Here's what T-Bone did this season.
It was not good.
He started off with four wins out of the first 5 weeks and 5 wins out of the first 7, right? He has not won since.
Ooh.
Do you have one push in there?
Yeah.
He had one push in there, but he is winless.
Sophomore slump.
9 weeks riding a 9-week winless streak.
Damn.
Into divisional weekend. So maybe you're right, T-Bone.
Look at mine. I'm 4-11-1 with eight. I have lost six of my last seven.
So when
that's
I did
impressive.
When I did a push, I asked you guys, I said, I'll make my pick, and if you like it, we'll go with it. If you don't, I'll pick the opposite. Let's do it again.
Okay, what do you got?
No, just make a pick.
I like the Packers -6.5.
Okay.
At home, their first game against the Rams. Like the Rams aren't
going
to do it again.
You know, we're going opposite on both these things. We're taking the dog in the Browns-Chiefs game and the over, which you're not supposed to do. And in this one, we're taking the favorite and the under, which you're not supposed to do.
So it would explain why you guys have a losing
T-bone?
Record.
6.5. Touchdown.
Well, we haven't officially
adopted it.
No, we haven't officially taken the over in the Chiefs Browns game yet, but okay.
28-17 is a win, Hardy, in that game. Packers Rams, 28-17, that's a win. That's under 45.5.
Good math.
Okay.
Jim, you got something for us?
Yeah, I think there's going to be a ton of points scored in Sunday night. Packers-Bucks. I mean, Bucks-Saints, rather.
Bucks-Saints and the
52,
over is...
going over.
52.
So the way I look at it is we have seven picks. We should do a seven-teamer.
Yeah, why not? What the hell?
Okay, so we're doing the over in the Browns game, too?
Yeah, why not?
Why not?
So in both of those games, we're taking the underdog and the overs.
We're
breaking all the rules.
$10 would win $741.
I'm sorry, one more time?
$10 would win $741.
Sexy.
I like that.
That is life-changing money.
Yeah, that is. You can invest that. Think about what you could do with that.
Is McTakey in on that? Do we have to keep him in on this or what? What are we doing here?
It should be his $10.
I'll throw my $10 in.
Yeah, good. There you go.
Why
the hell not?
Are we doing 10 each?
Oh, wait. Do that math. What would 70?
Yeah, let's.
We would each get 741.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right. Let's do it.
Bunch of idiots.
Hey, listen, I did not get into this business to do math. I was told there would be no math.
There's no math.
Come on.
No math.
What are you doing to me here?
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with a solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.